Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Genius, exceptional minds that have changed the world. There are big studies going on of Leonardo da Vinci's ancestors to find out why he was the genius that he was. He was an amazing guy, born to, in 1452, unmarried parents, you know, lived in a little stone house. But he lived in the Renaissance, and there was something about his mind that was rare. Albert Einstein also. Think of the geniuses that you would claim are geniuses. Think of all the people who may have been genius, but perhaps because they were poor, or for much of time, perhaps because they were women, and they never had a chance to really develop their genius. What is it? And why is it kind of elusive and subjective and wedded to the verdict of history to be easily identified? It's the cover story of this month's National Geographic. The woman who wrote the piece is going to be with us as we talk about genius this hour. It should be a fascinating hour, and it's coming up momentarily. But also, what has happened here is genius over the last 100 years, and how the whole thing got started is really genius in 1917. I'm talking, of course, about Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is our spring membership drive and our 100th birthday. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nabandian, the station manager here in Milwaukee, and we're asking you to invest a few minutes of your time to support the future of WPR listening. Make your gift now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 16 new and returning members.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Thank you so much for those pledges. Right now, Kathleen, it's your favorite kind of hour. We have a dollar-for-dollar match.
These are good.
Yeah, up to $2,500. This generous match is from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle member Lois Ehlert, and it means that they will match every dollar you give. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs you love. Give now. Now at WPR.org.
And if you
go ahead.
Oh, no. Should I? Are you done?
I'm
done. Oh, the
done.
Phone number?
I was going to give the phone.
I'm sorry. No, give the number. No, do it. Do it, please.
888-202-2552.
Can't cut you off there. If you're thinking that your tax dollars, your federal and state tax dollars, already support WPR, it's true they do. But we get federal funding from the federal government and from the state, but you make up the single largest source of our income.
You make the difference, and you make the quality and variety of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to us because of all the wonderful programs that we have and because you're a part of those programs. Unbiased reporting, we have fascinating discussions. You make Wisconsin a better place just by listening and being a more well-rounded person.
You're a listener. Now take the time and the next step to become a member. Your first ever donation of, say, $5 or $10 a month makes Wisconsin a great place where great radio is available to everyone. Give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a big year for Wisconsin Public Radio. 2017 marks our 100th anniversary, and right now, your pledge to WPR can do more than support the station you love. We're proud to partner with Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison to plant trees and help preserve Wisconsin's forests. You can help. Give $5 a month and ask to plant a tree as your thank you gift. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison will match every tree we plant. Celebrate with us. Make a pledge. Help build a forest. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love that. That plant a tree. It's a really good thing. You should, and if you've already done the other things, you'll be checking this off your list. Plant a tree, have a child write a book or some variation thereof. It's in the Torah. A good life, a well-lived life, a meaningful life. That's what you do. So plant the tree, $5 a month, help WPR. It's all good. That's really good. Well, and you make it a better place, this whole state, just by listening and being a more well-rounded person.
That's right. Pledge right now at WPR.org or 888 206-202-2552. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And you can also find out if your employer will match your donation. Yeah, that would be good. Pledge now. Ask your human resources department about it.
And, you know, it's interesting. Even retired employees can sometimes qualify for these really generous employer matches. So pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and then find out if you can get your pledge doubled by your employer.
And speaking of getting your pledge doubled, we want to remind you, this is one of those double your money hours. This is the hour to pledge. They're all hours, but you get double your money this hour thanks to this gift from people in 9XM Leadership Circle, member Lois Ehlert and others, and they are going to match every dollar that you give.
Amazing.
So this is the hour to pledge.
That's
I am not
right.
kidding you. The number is 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, support the radio you love and do something extra. Kathleen just mentioned this, ask to plant a tree in our centennial forest. Oh, that sounds beautiful, a centennial
forest. Isn't
that
forest? A lovely thing?
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
It's great. It's a good thing.
Yeah. And that's $5 a month, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Help us meet that goal. National Geographic Magazine has a cover story. It's titled Genius, Exceptional Minds That Have Changed the World. Brain studies may explain brilliant minds. In music, math, and in the arts, some minds are so exceptional that they have changed the world. What makes these extraordinary people soar above their brilliant peers? Well, our guest this hour looked into that and wrote the piece for the cover story of National Geographic this month. Claudia Kelb is a New York Times bestselling author. She's a National Geographic writer. She specializes in medicine, mental health, and science. And she is the author of Andy Warhol Was a Hoarder, Inside the Minds of History's Great Personalities, which was a New York Times bestseller. We'll be welcoming phone calls as we talk about all kinds of geniuses and what we've learned about why there are geniuses. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Claudia, thank you ever so much for being with us. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. So have you seen Einstein's Brain?
I have. Well, I've seen parts of it. Einstein's Brain, it's such an amazing story. So when he died, he actually did not want to be buried because he didn't want his burial site to become a tourist destination. But he was he wanted to be cremated. But when he died, the pathologist who was doing the autopsy just could not help himself.
Huh?
He took out the brain. It was sliced into pieces, tissue, very thin slices of tissue that were mounted on slides. And these were sent around to a number of scientists' labs around the country. So you can actually view a set of these slides. The public can view these at the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia, which is also just a fantastic museum filled with medical specimens. It's really an amazing place, so I highly recommend going. And you can see what look like, when you look at the tissue of Einstein's brain, it looks like these just slices of artistic poetry almost. It's really amazing to see them.
Oh, all right. I'm on my way. And then you look at the impact that he had and this huge, you remind us of this huge discovery that was made so many years after Einstein had talked about this theory, black holes orbiting each other would create ripples in the fabric of time, and we got the sounds of that. And here was Einstein so many years later. He saw things that technology couldn't really prove, but it was in his head.
Right, and that is, I think, one of the defining characteristics, if you're going to talk about genius, that ability to see so far, in a way, into the future, to sort of gather the material of the time, but to use it in a way that, you know, to project ahead. And so with Einstein, with his ability to see that, and then 100 years later, just recently proving through these tunnels and tubes where they could test all of this, to see the physical detection of these gravitational waves, that's just amazing, and it's sort of one of the defining characteristics.
Another person who seemed to have that seeing ahead, too, was Leonardo da Vinci.
Right, and Leonardo, I think he really just exemplifies that ability with his engineering designs for things like parachutes and objects flying through the sky, and he just had this ability to, again, use the information of the time, but to take it and just have this vision of the future and create these kinds of pieces and things that are just still being built. People they have kids' toys, build Leonardo's.
Right, I know.
You know, aerodynamic, product. And it's just amazing that is something that carries over. And that's the impact of genius work is also a defining characteristic, that impact that lasts for generations to come after the person.
Does it also, when you think of Da Vinci, you think about what he did in so many areas, that he was not only a beautiful artist, but he also understood human anatomy, so he was a scientist, he had all these fields of expertise. Is that also a definition of genius?
It can be, and in this case, some studies have shown that their abilities in different areas are sort of, you know, better in some ways than other people, that they have this ability to be really talented in these different areas. Sometimes that's not true, but with Leonardo, it was definitely true. He had that, very much of that eye to see that medical anatomy and to study that and have interest in it and then translate that to the page. And he was an engineer. I mean, he was a wonderful engineer. Michelangelo, he was an incredible artist. And not only that, people may not realize he was a wonderful poet, and his poetry is taught. So there's just interesting aspects to this, that sometimes there is that real ability to be multi-talented.
Mm-hmm. So were all of their parents really smart? Were they geniuses?
That's a really good question. In general, I would say no, and that answer comes even from today's work on gene research into intelligence, which is a whole interesting area in and of itself, that will show that really, I talked to a researcher working in this who says geniuses do not come from genius parents generally. And geniuses, I mean, you think about Leonardo, he was born to unwed parents not in a high-end family, didn't have a lot of instruction early on. So it's not as if a genius parent is going to guarantee that, or even a highly intelligent parent would guarantee that is transferred down through the genes to the child.
There was this fascinating study that you write about in the National Geographic piece that was done, I believe, in the 1920s of the guy who was looking at IQ, and he got all of these students who had very, very high IQs and traced them over a number of years, 40, I think, to see what had happened in their lives. The results were fascinating.
Right, and these were children in California whose IQs reached about 140 or above. So this was technically considered near genius or genius. And he wanted to see how would they do throughout their lives and how would they compare. And there were a lot of real successes among these children. Some were National Academy of Sciences members. There were politicians, doctors, all sorts of people who achieved great things in their careers. But not all of them did. And there were some of them couldn't make it through college the first time around. Some of them did not thrive in their careers. And there were a couple of people cut from the study, these children early on, because their IQs didn't make it high enough to that 140 number. And they became, Louis Alvarez and William Shockley, they became Nobel Prize winners in physics. So the bottom line and the message from that study is that while intelligence is important and it contributes to any kind of genius, it's not, high IQ is not an absolutely critical ingredient.
Mm. And who knows how many Nobel Prize winners there may have been among the women in that group, but they were not able to, because of what was going on in their roles in society, they were homemakers.
Right. A lot of those women did turn out, I think about half turned out to be homemakers. And that's just, has a big impact on a woman's ability to persevere and succeed in a career. I mean, if you are going to choose something, even at a young age, that a woman might choose that she's interested in doing, many of them then had to take time off to raise families. And so continuing on a career track, which is so important, having that time to focus on a passion or an interest, becomes difficult for women. And then sometimes women just were not recognized, even if they did contribute greatly to a field. So there's a lot of interest in reviving some of those female geniuses.
I didn't know this, that Mozart's sister was a brilliant harpsichord player until I read your article. But she was married off when she was 18.
Right. I mean, I think she didn't, in fact, marry at 18, but it was considered the age at which she should become marriageable. And so even at that time, she did touring around and playing, and she was considered, people at the time described her in words like genius. Her playing was so great. But she, and the thing with her is that whereas her brother, you know, Mozart was contributing to the music through composing, her playing is sort of lost to time. If she had had the time to compose, those pieces might have had the legacy that his did, but she didn't get that time. She wasn't allowed to do that throughout her adulthood, so she lost the chance. And she was considered just a wonderful musician.
Oh, I'm longing for Mozart's sister now.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Right.
Yeah. We're talking about genius this hour of the program. It's the cover story of the latest edition of National Geographic, and it's fascinating. And the author of the piece is with us. We also are going to welcome your phone calls. Claudia Kalb is here. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and she writes about medicine and mental health and science, and we're delighted to have her here. 800-486-8655 is our number if you'd like to join on air the conversation. 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. You count on us to talk about fascinating issues like genius. I love this hour. And WPR counts on you to help keep all of these conversations on the air. So please give WPR.org 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match. It's still in effect right now from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle member Lois Ehlert. And how this works is your gift of $50 would turn into $100. $100 turns into $200 and so on. So take advantage of this match right now, and you can double your support for WPR programs when you give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We've been a pioneer in public radio, and this year we're celebrating Happy birthday to WPR, 100 years of broadcasting. Isn't that something?
It's amazing.
It is something. It's an accomplishment that's only possible thanks to listener support.
And together, let's work hard for today, tomorrow, and the next 100 years to keep the tradition of leadership and innovation in public broadcasting alive. Whether it's mobile and streaming apps or podcasting or digital content, it all starts. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, for great conversation and entertainment. And 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and others across the state.
Keep our connections going strong to you and to all WPR listeners with a leadership gift of $100 a month or more. You do it the same way at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Marcy from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio. First of all, the word obsessed has been used with public radio. I've been listening to nothing but public radio for probably upwards of 20-some years. When I made a transition moving back to Wisconsin after being gone for 20-some years, it was a great way for me to sort of get back to what was going on, feeling involved. It was a great connection, and I think that's probably the word that I think of the most. I feel very connected when I'm listening to public radio. I'm a sustaining member because I don't have to think about it. Well, first of all, it's so easy. I don't have to do anything. I wish all my bills could just magically be paid that way. And although it's not a bill for what it gives back to me, it is something that I'm willing to pay for. It enriches my life. It's invaluable to me, so I'm happy to give back.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. It's our spring membership drive. Lisa Nalbandian, our station manager here, is with me, and we're asking for your support. $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount, we thank you for your gift.
Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or maybe you're a sustaining member. Thank you so much. will gladly accept your extra gift as well at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll help make this drive successful, and you'll support the programs you enjoy every day.
We don't want to fall short this hour, Lisa. This is one of those dollar-for-dollar matches.
Right.
So if you were thinking about supporting this show, why don't you do it right now? Mm-hmm. $25 to $100. We have to reach that amount to get that extra amount of $2,500. So that should motivate you to go to the phone, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah, do it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is double your money.
That's right. So your gifts will go twice as far. And remember, you can get the mug or you could donate for into the Centennial Forest. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Support your WPR listening. Contribute now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. Thank you, Lisa. We're talking about genius this hour of the program, a fascinating article that's the cover story of the National Geographic. Lots of information about Einstein, of course, and information about literary inventiveness from a Japanese author who probably we don't know as much as we should about, Lady Murasaki, Michelangelo. Well, there are lots of people mentioned here, and it really looks at what makes a genius, and it's not just having a high IQ, as we're discovering. Welcoming phone calls, too, at 800-486-8655, and we go to Mary in Milwaukee. Hello, Mary.
Good afternoon. So what distinguishes a person who's a genius with somebody who's considered a Mensa person? And I don't know what the acronym stands for, but I know they're basically highly intelligent to some form, I guess.
Claudia.
Well, I think, I mean, a genius really, when you come down to define it, is somebody who's going to leave a long lasting impact on society, on the world in general, in a given field, whose work changes the course of history in some way. And so I think in that sense, a Mensa would be somebody who is brilliant and can take these tests and figure out if they're maybe quote-unquote geniuses. But I think at the end of the day, it's what is produced, the productivity of what you produce in art or literature or music or physics that then has that impact that lasts for generations to come.
I found it fascinating what research you did on how geniuses have been viewed through history and what created geniuses. Early Greek thinkers, you write, believed in overabundance of black bile.
Right. I mean, there's such interesting history on this. So really, going back, the ancient Romans thought that everybody was born with a genius of some sort. It was considered a guiding spirit that made each person unique. And then, as you mentioned, this theory about black bile, one of the four humors that comes from Hippocrates, that this was too much of this substance in the body, gave people this great power. They used to look for it in bumps on the head or the size of the skull. I mean, all sorts of things, the physical evidence for genius. And then over time, the meaning changed, and it became this idea that this is unique talents that come internally, that it's this exemplary talent of one person that comes from within. And so really interesting concepts of genius and the history of genius evolving over time.
You write about jazz musicians, and you write about, which I thought were interesting comments from Keith Jarrett, who says, and I don't even know what this means, that he bypasses his brain completely when he's doing his improvisation, which can go on as long as a two-hour period of time. How do you bypass your brain?
Yeah, he's so interesting and such a phenomenal musician in his improvisation. He walks up to the stage. He told me he sits down, and if he has his hands on keys that he knows that sort of trigger some melody or an idea, he moves them because he wants to begin fresh, completely, without any preconceived notion of what he's going to play. And he goes to that space in his brain that is just this vast space, he calls it. He bypasses it, meaning that when you look at the brain science, I think what he's sort of talking about is that we have this network in the brain that keeps us organized and tells us what to do, focused on external demands like going to the office and paying taxes. And then there's the neural network that sort of allows that creative burst, that inspiration, that daydreaming to go on. And I think, in a way, what he's talking about bypassing that part of the brain that instructs us what to do and letting that source come from the part that just emerges in a way spontaneously. So by not focusing and by not concentrating, that creativity emerges.
Interesting. But you also found that it's not really necessarily true that geniuses don't have to have perseverance and don't work very hard. They may amount to nothing. They may be brilliant and geniuses, but you have to stay at something, work at something very hard. Perseverance is a part of genius.
Right, and that is such an important part. And, you know, there seems to be, to some degree, kind of this myth about, you know, this magic almost of genius, that it just happens, that these moments of inspiration just burst out. And everybody you talk to will say that's impossible, that you have to have training and the ability to, you know, practice and understand the field in which you're working, and to some degree to be able to have those creative bursts and creative moments. So, and then you need to persevere. You need to have that internal drive, because a lot of your works are not going to be the genius work. I mean, when you look at the studies of looking at people's great accomplishments, sometimes there are a lot of faltering and failure, if you want to call it that, or just things that don't work out until that bright moment where it's sort of the genius moment. So there's a lot of work that goes into getting to the point where something soars above and beyond.
Mary, thanks for your call. Maddie and DePere, hi.
Hi. Well, I guess I wanted to comment about women not getting their due.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing a long time ago on Wisconsin Public Television, and there was a show about, they said that Einstein's wife, she was doing the same kind of research, and they thought that she actually had the very first breakthrough on that research. But they said that he divorced her, but they had a son who had schizophrenia, and so she couldn't continue with her research. And eventually, you know, after he got bigger and he was so out of control, she had a nervous breakdown, but she insisted on going to the same facility that her son went to.
Hmm.
Is that, has your guest ever heard anything about that?
Well, I don't know every detail of that history, but Einstein's first wife, she was a physicist, and she did co-author some of his work, and so there is definitely, it's definitely true that she was an accomplished scientific thinker in her own right. They did have a rocky relationship. They did have sons, one of whom had schizophrenia, as you mentioned, and it became very difficult to sustain that relationship. At some point, they were living in different places. I don't know the history of her long terms in terms of her own psychological outcome, but she definitely was somebody who supported his work, and that was how they originally connected, was over science. And I think that this is true of a lot of women, in the sense that they may have to give up their careers to support the work of the spouse, and this has happened throughout history. And
sure.
So it would be not uncommon that, you know, unfortunately, somebody has to dedicate time to family, and in many cases, it is the woman or the mother who does that. So it's a story that is interesting to tell, and definitely worth reading more about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the call, Maddie. Our number is 800-486-8655. Chris on Facebook wants to know if it's true that there's a connection between genius and mental illness.
Oh, that's a great question, and it's one that's really being researched and looked at in so many ways. There's all sorts of interesting studies looking at one of the components of genius, which is creativity. You need to be creative to be able to think outside of the box and to think ahead. And there's really interesting work looking at creativity and mental illness, looking at specifically mood disorders, so depression and bipolar. And people have mapped out family lineages and seen that in some cases there looks like there's this mental illness does seem more common in some of these families of writers and artists. It's interesting to look at. And then thinking about people in, you know, sometimes bipolar, people saying that it's the mania that provides mm-hmm. that creative surge. So those are the elements that make some people think in these brilliant ways and allow them and give them the energy to really be creative. So there's really interesting work going on in there. I think there are people who disagree as to how much definitive evidence there is that mental illness is absolutely linked to high levels of creativity or genius. But anecdotally, there are people who say, you know, there really does appear to be this connection. And a lot of the, you know, quote-unquote geniuses may also have had some of these psychological conditions that they either dealt with or that may have in some ways contributed to their work.
Was Abraham Lincoln a genius?
I would say, you know, in his political leadership, I would say he does fall under the genius category. If you're thinking about politicians as geniuses or leaders as geniuses, and Lincoln, interestingly, and I wrote about this in my book, Andy Warhol Was a Hoarder, which is about 12 different historical figures, but he's been looked at for depression. And he really was described at the time of his life by his contemporaries as somebody who was very melancholic, and somebody said he dripped with melancholy. Hmm. He was a sad guy, and there were periods in his late 20s and early 30s where he had what some people believe were clinical depression episodes. And interestingly, people have looked at depression and seen, and there's a theory among some that depression allows people to be more realistic, to see things without an unfair sense of optimism, to be more realistic and see clearly what's going on, to be more sympathetic, to have, you know, to sort of be more insightful in some ways. And all of that may have led Lincoln to be the great leader.
Oh, that's fascinating. We're talking about genius this hour of the program, and a great cover story, and it's the cover story of National Geographic this month. The author of that piece is with us. We're looking at people we consider geniuses throughout time. What makes for a genius? Is there just you're real smart, you have a very high IQ? No, you have to have other facets, perseverance, you have to have creativity. And now, because we're living in 2017, it is, right? There are also brain studies that are going on now to find out what's going on in the brains of people who we may consider genius. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We have lines open for you right now if you'd like to join our conversation. We sure would like to hear from you. We'll talk about all of the hard work that many people have done. There's an Australian scientist who's considered maybe the most brilliant mathematician in the world, who's, I believe, at the University of California right now. And he was getting like a 750 on his SATs when he was 7 years old. But he also worked very hard at what he did. So natural ability, but work really hard. At any rate, it's interesting. Huh? A lot of things we talk about are very interesting. That's because we're the Ideas Network. And we ask you to support what's interesting, because we are also in our spring membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. Please know that listener contributions are the single largest source of funding at WPR, and it's your gift that keeps programs that you value, including this program, on the air. We're in a double your money thing. It would be a very smart thing for you to do because you're very smart people. So make your contribution now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, that's right. We do have a dollar for dollar match, Kathleen, up to $2,500. It's in effect right now and
yep.
for only this hour.
Right.
It's a great time to pledge because this is how it works. Current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle member Lois Ehlert, will double everything you give. And they do that because they want to inspire you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can double the impact of your pledge this hour at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Mm-hmm. Because of last hour, I'm sipping coffee. Did coffee last hour and having a whale of a time learning about genius. I'm ready to go look at Einstein's brain after this particular program. We're motivated to do a lot of learning after we hear what we hear on the air, and it's an example of conversations we have all the time.
That's right. Take a few minutes right now to make this hour and so many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Then make your pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
A great way to support us is by becoming a sustaining member, so please think about that. Again, 888 202-2552. Thank you. WPR.org. We're talking about genius this hour of the program. Joining us is Claudia Kalb. She is the author of the cover story, fascinating one it is, of National Geographic this month. She writes prolifically for many, many organizations about a lot of different topics, and she's also author of a book, which we should have interviewed her on, but I don't know if we did. The book is about Andy Warhol being a hoarder, and she looks at 12 historical figures, which sounds like an interesting read. All right, let's go back to phone calls. We have many of them coming in, and let us go to Steve in Whitehall. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes. I
wanted to make reference to a very fascinating book that I read. I can't remember the name of the author, but the book was entitled Einstein and Picasso. And basically what the author was doing was running parallel the story of Einstein's discovery or development of the theory of relativity at the same time that Picasso was producing some of his most famous work, most notably Les Demoiselles d'Avignon. Excuse my French.
No, I thought it was really good.
That they basically came up with the same, even though I don't think they had met each other, but they actually had come up with the same notion of relativity. Einstein, of course, doing it in respect to physics, but Picasso doing it in respect to art. And also, interestingly, Steve Martin actually wrote a play called Picasso at the La Pine Agile, in which he imagines a meeting between Picasso and Einstein in which they discuss the whole aspect of relativity.
Mm.
So I think, you know, we think of genius mostly in terms of somebody like Einstein, but the genius that Picasso had in taking that notion of relativity and applying it to art, I think it's really an interesting aspect
Absolutely.
Of the discussion.
Yeah, Claudia, what do you say?
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. And I love this idea of these, you know, taking these historical figures and having them meet and discuss these ideas.
Yes.
That's just so fascinating. But art is really genius in among those who create these works that, again, last through the generations. And so it's true that we often think of genius when we think of science and we think of those kinds of hard, you know, core science, math kinds of realms. But really, art, music, art, literature, there's so much genius in all of those works. And that's in some ways a slightly different kind of genius. And it's really interesting to look at, in all of those works, the creativity that underlies all of those people. There's some really interesting aspects, the questions being raised about, and I mentioned this in the Leonardo study, where they're looking for his DNA. There's this effort among international group of scientists and art historians and others to look for his DNA, and if they can find it, to see what might be in there. And is something like vision, you know, an acute sense of vision or some kind of ability to see palettes and colors differently than other people, or perfect pitch in a musician, are those qualities that might in some way be another ingredient to genius? There's really interesting stuff. So
fascinating.
Picasso and, you know, science, the two, Einstein, really interesting. So thanks for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm. And it made me think of another thing that you explored. Are there certain times in history that are more likely because of a flourishing of art or a flourishing of thought that makes it more likely that genius will emerge?
Right, and I think this does come up, that people see these moments in time where, and again, if you think about the Renaissance, which is such a important example of art exploding at that time, that it, you know, people were talking about ideas. There was a patronage of the arts. There was it was sort of supported. These great minds were, you had Michelangelo and Raphael and Leonardo all, you know, jostling at the same time. And so kind of influencing, inspiring in each other, and an openness to want that kind of new creative energy. And like Silicon Valley today, in a way, just this cluster of at a time in history where things are coming together in a way that they haven't before. It just it sets up this energy, this creative energy, and I think people think that that contributes to these moments in time.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve, so much for your interesting question. Marcus in Madison, hi.
Good afternoon, Ms. Dunn and Ms. Kalb. At the risk of derailing the usual arias to the genius of Einstein and Leonardo da Vinci, I'd like to point out the work of a British neuroscientist named John Lorber, briefly. He studied 150 people who basically had what's called water on the brain. They had cerebral spinal fluid. 80% of their head was this. And yet when he did the IQ tests on them, they ranged up to 120, and many of them had advanced educational degrees and were professionals and things like that. I think genius is actually much more common than we'd like to think. It's just that we are so terrible at recognizing it. Mm. And when we do recognize it, we're not smart enough to create conditions for it to flourish. Insofar as I know, none of the people who have invented artificial ways of measuring intelligence or creativity would themselves be considered geniuses. And if our measure is, are these are geniuses because they caused us conformists to have changes in our lives, that's not complimentary to us. I think the real issue is, why are we so terrible at cultivating genius that's probably already there?
Claudia.
Oh, it's such a great question and such a great observation. And, you know, I think it's true for sure that genius is overlooked. It has to be overlooked because there are people in places and people in poor neighborhoods who are never going to achieve. So it is overlooked. And I think, you can start all the way back in childhood education. You know, our children who may think differently and yet are in schools where they have to, you know, conform to an educational system, are they somehow, is some of that creative energy being lost or sort of trapped? It's very difficult to figure out how to nurture genius in everyone. Everybody is so different. How do we allow it to flourish? And I agree that measuring, you know, is just, it's not the way to define genius, because just taking somebody's IQ is not going to make clear whether that person has this great reserve of creative thinking. I mean, I mentioned there's a photograph of somebody who's called a savant, who is somebody who can draw entire cityscapes after just viewing them for a few hours in an afternoon, an artist who has autism. And so the idea that there is this energy and creativity in this person that does not come with a measured quality like IQ, but somehow comes from some ability that he has to recruit this creativity in his brain. This guy is Stephen Wiltshire. And there are other people like him, musicians and artists. So just the idea that genius gets overlooked, that we're missing geniuses, I think for sure. And I don't know that there's an easy answer to figure out how to solve that.
One more call. Dale in Dubuque. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Dale.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching the National Geographic program on Einstein, and it's been quite interesting and enjoyable. The thing that I believe genius perhaps seems to be is the ability to see something when others cannot.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Wright brothers. There were several people trying to build airplanes at the time of the Wright brothers, but it was the Wright brothers that realized the problem was not lift, the problem was control. And to me, that perhaps is what makes a genius, is seeing the world in a different, from a different perspective. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think it comes out in a lot when you talk to people about what makes a genius. That is one of the defining characteristics, that vision, somehow that ability to take what we all have surrounding us and be able to use that information in a way that most people just don't see it. They can't have that ability to think ahead and see what others can. And that's, you know, that's in philosophy from dating way back hundreds of years, you know, that is what is genius, that ability to Schopenhauer said, lights on his age like a comet into the path of the planets, somehow seeing well beyond everybody else. So I think that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the call. Claudia, thank you very much for being with us. We'll have to chat again for a full hour.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here. Appreciate it.
Claudia Kalb, New York Times bestselling author. She wrote the cover story for the fascinating story in National Geographic this month. It is on genius. Well, here we are. And all of you geniuses out there listening, we need some of your money because we have our spring membership drive going on right now. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandi, and we've got this double your money thing, which we need to make, okay? We're not there yet. We need some more pledges. Let's do a real rush here at the end because these don't happen very often, so you know that it's an important thing to meet. So you rely on us for information, for all of these great discussions. We rely on you to keep these conversations on the air, so please, your gift right now will help us. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And so how this dollar-for-dollar match works is that we have a group of really loyal members, 9XM members, members like Lois Ehlert, who knows that if they do this challenge, they're wanting to inspire you to give to Wisconsin Public Radio right now. So, for example, you give 50, they match 50. So 50 turns into 100, 100 turns into 200, and so on. So take advantage of it. It's right now. It's not every hour. And you can double your support for WPR programs. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I know you enjoyed the conversation about genius. I sure did. It's going to make me go home and read the book about Einstein, which has been on my shelf for a long, long time. So we carry on with our conversations and our learning after we hear things on the air frequently. We're inspired. So take a few minutes to thank us for that inspiration and for future inspiration. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe when you think about WPR listening, that's about $4 a day to me. Then become a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle. Contribute $100 a month, and that works out to less than $4 a day to support WPR programs.
Just take a minute and think about the value that you've been getting from WPR in the last year. And consider a contribution that puts you in the 9XM Leadership Circle. Sustain the future of Wisconsin Public Radio by making your leadership gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have that dollar-for-dollar match. Like we've been talking about, up to $2,500. It's in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Lois Ehlert, will double every dollar you give. They do this to inspire you to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio during our centennial year. So double the impact of your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Just a few minutes to make that double your money thing happen. So please give right now. It just is important. It's a great hour. It's double your money. Join your friends and neighbors who believe in the value of WPR and believe in supporting it because it takes the support of everyone who listens to make Wisconsin Public Radio as good as it can be.
When you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure the news and information you need is here every day.
Dollar for dollar match, in effect. You need to give now to make that still be a possibility and only a couple minutes to do so. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your money will go twice as far.
And this pledge drive supports the radio you love and do something extra. Ask to plant a tree in our centennial forest as your thank you gift when you donate $5 a month at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thanks very much, Lisa. Thanks, everybody, for your pledges. Let them roll on in during the news, 888-202-2552. Thank you ever so much. And we want to thank Colleen Leahy for producing the hour, and Colleen and to Gretchen Brown for producing great shows.